Welcome, Holy Trinity family, and welcome to those of you who are new to our online services. We're delighted you're joining us. We're celebrating the second Sunday after Pentecost, and although we may not be physically together, by the power of the Holy Spirit, we are together in Christ. Now, you'll find the words to our service in the center bottom of this video, right about here, but you'll also find the link to our bulletin for June 14th just under this video on your screen. Feel free to click it open. Now, before we begin, we will take a few moments for silent prayer and allow the Holy Spirit to center our hearts and our minds on Jesus. And now, let us sing together our opening hymn, "Our Hope, My Hope, Is Built on Nothing Less." The hour is coming and is now here when the true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and in truth, for the Father is seeking such people to worship him. Let us humbly confess our sins unto Almighty God, beginning with a moment of silent confession. Together, let us pray. Most merciful God, we confess that we have sinned against you in thought, word, and deed, by what we have done and by what we have left undone. We have not loved you with our whole heart. We have not loved our neighbors as ourselves. We are truly sorry, and we humbly repent. For the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, have mercy on us and forgive us, that we may delight in your will and walk in your ways, to the glory of your name. Amen. Almighty God, have mercy on you, forgive you all your sins through our Lord Jesus Christ, strengthen you in all goodness, and by the power of the Holy Spirit, keep you in eternal life. Amen. Lord, open our lips,
and our mouth shall proclaim your praise.
Glory to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and will be forever. Amen. The mercy of the Lord is everlasting.
O come, let us adore him.
We continue our offering of praise and thanksgiving by reciting responsively Psalm 99. You're invited to respond with the second half of each verse, which is printed in bold. The Lord is King, let the peoples tremble.
He sits between the cherubim, let the earth shake.
The Lord is great in Zion,
and high above all peoples.
They shall give thanks unto his name, which is great and wonderful.
Holy is he and mighty, a king who loves justice.
You have established equity.
You have executed judgment and righteousness in Jacob.
Oh, magnify the Lord our God.
And fall down before his footstool, for he is holy.
Moses and Aaron among his priests, and Samuel among those who call upon his name.
They called upon the Lord, and he heard them.
He spoke to them out of the cloudy pillar.
For they kept his testimonies and the law that he gave them.
You heard them, O Lord our God.
You forgave them, O God, yet punished their evil doings.
Oh, magnify the Lord our God, and worship him upon his holy hill.
For the Lord our God is holy.
Glory to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and will be forever. Amen. I invite you now to listen to our readings from the Old and New Testaments.
This is the Old Testament reading, Numbers 9, verses 15 through 23. On the day that the tabernacle was set up, the cloud covered the tabernacle, the tent of the testimony. And at evening, it was over the tabernacle like the appearance of fire until morning. So it was always the cloud covered it by day and the appearance of fire by night. And whenever the cloud lifted from over the tent, after that the people of Israel set out, and in the place where the cloud settled down, there the people of Israel camped. At the command of the Lord, the people of Israel set out, and at the command of the Lord they camped. As long as the cloud rested over the tabernacle, they remained in camp. Even when the cloud continued over the tabernacle many days, the people of Israel kept the charge of the Lord and did not set out. Sometimes the cloud was a few days over the tabernacle, and according to the command of the Lord, they remained in camp. Then, according to the command of the Lord, they set out. And sometimes the cloud remained from evening until morning. When the cloud lifted in the morning, they set out, or if it continued for a day and a night when the cloud lifted, they set out. Whether it was 2 days or a month or a longer time that the cloud continued over the tabernacle, abiding there, the people of Israel remained in camp and did not set out, but when it lifted, they set out. At the command of the Lord, they camped. At the command of the Lord, they set out. They kept the charge of the Lord at the command of the Lord by Moses. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
This is the New Testament reading. Revelation 1, verses 4 through 8. John to the seven churches that are in Asia. Grace to you and peace from him who is and who was and who is to come, and from the seven spirits who are before his throne, and from Jesus Christ, the faithful witness, the firstborn of the dead, and the ruler of kings on earth. To him who loves us and has freed us from our sins by his blood, and made us a kingdom, priests to his God and Father, to him be glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. Behold, he is coming with the clouds, and every eye will see him, even those who pierced him. And all the tribes of the earth will wail on account of him. Even so, amen. I am the Alpha and the Omega, says the Lord God, who is and who was and who is to come, the Almighty. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Please join us for our gospel hymn, Ancient of Days.
Yeah. Gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ according to John. Glory to you, Lord Christ. I've said all these things to you to keep you from falling away. They will put you out of the synagogues. Indeed, the hour is coming when whoever kills you will think he's offering service to God. And they will do these things because they have not known the Father nor me. But I have said these things to you, that when their hour comes, you may remember that I told them to you. I did not say these things to you from the beginning, because I was with you. But now I am going to him who sent me, and none of you asks me, where are you going? But because I have said these things to you, sorrow has filled your heart. Nevertheless, I tell you the truth. It is to your advantage that I go away. For if I do not go away, the Helper will not come to you. But if I go, I will send him to you. And when he comes, he will convict the world concerning sin and righteousness and judgment. Concerning sin, because they do not believe in me. Concerning righteousness, because I go to the Father and you will see me no longer. Concerning judgment, because the ruler of this world is judged. I still have many things to say to you, but you cannot bear them now. When the Spirit of truth comes, he will guide you into all the truth, for he will not speak on his own authority, but at whatever he hears, he will speak, and he will declare to you the things that are to come. He will glorify me, for he will take what is mine and declare it to you. All that the Father has is mine. Therefore I said that he will take what is mine and declare it to you. This is the gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, Lord Christ. Before we begin, let's pray together. Lord Jesus, we give you thanks and praise that you have sent us, your Holy Spirit, to lead us into all truth and righteousness. Lead us today. Speak to us from your word. Be honored in our midst. We pray this, Lord Jesus, in your holy name. Amen. I want to start off this morning by saying how grateful I am to those who have expressed concern for our family over the past few weeks. I'm happy to report that we're doing well. Those of us who've had COVID-19 are recovering from fairly mild cases, and we hope to come out of quarantine early this coming week. As you can see, I have decided to change venue in order to keep things interesting for you. Last week, I was in the kids' playroom. This week, I'm in the kitchen. Hopefully next week, I will be back in our church buildings. Last Sunday, we kicked off a new series of sermons called The Way of the Wilderness. We're spending this summer in the Old Testament book of Numbers, journeying with the people of Israel as they make their way from slavery in Egypt to life in the Promised Land. We're doing this because the lessons that Israel learned in the desert are fundamental to this life of faith, whether you're living through a wilderness season of your own or you're resting on top of a mountain. Today, we're going to look at the second half of Numbers chapter 9, which Elizabeth read so well for us just a few moments ago. But before we get there, I need to set the stage by reminding you of a story familiar to most of you. This is the story of the golden calf in Exodus chapter 32. So here's what happened. When Moses went up onto Mount Sinai to receive the Ten Commandments from God, it took a lot longer than the people of Israel expected. There they were at the base of the mountain, watching and waiting for days on end for Moses to return to give them instructions. Eventually, they got impatient. Turning to Moses' brother, Aaron, they said, "Look, we have no idea where Moses is, or even if he's still alive. And we're kind of stuck here in the wilderness. We need a God to tell us where to go. Why don't you make us one?" Now, in the history of bad ideas, this has to rank right near the top. But for some reason, Aaron goes along with it. He collected jewelry, melted it down, fashioned a calf, and set it before the people as their God. Now, just as he did this, Moses returned from the mountain with the Ten Commandments in his hands and a scowl on his face. Upon arriving in camp, Moses threw the Ten Commandments to the ground in anger and shattered them. He grabbed the golden calf, burned it to bits, ground it into powder, threw it into the water, and then made the people drink it as an act of repentance. Now, most of us know this incredible story, but there is a detail that we often miss. Right after this incident, we're told in Exodus 33, verse 7, that Moses used to take the tent and pitch it outside the camp, and he called it the Tent of Meeting. And everyone who sought the Lord would go out to the Tent of Meeting, which was outside the camp. Now, the Tent of Meeting was the place where God was present with his people and gave Moses direction. This was the most important dwelling in the whole camp. But look where it was. It was on the outskirts, away from everything, pushed to the margins. God was still present with his people, but not at the center of their life together. And the rest of the book of Exodus, it tells the story of how, under Moses' patient leadership, God slowly makes his way back to the center of the life of his people. So we come to the book of Numbers, and Numbers picks up the story that left off at the end of Exodus. Now, Numbers begins with two famously dull chapters. Chapter 1 contains an exhaustive account of a census of the people of Israel, while chapter 2 details the physical layout of their camp at Mount Sinai. Now, this is not exactly the most interesting reading, but the power isn't in the details, it's in the symbolism, especially in chapter 2. So Numbers 2 begins like this. The Lord spoke to Moses and Aaron, saying, "The people of Israel shall camp, each by his own standard, with the banners of their fathers' houses. They shall camp facing the tent of meeting on every side." Now, did you catch that? The tent of meeting, soon to be replaced by the much fancier tabernacle, has moved from the margins of the camp to the center. After all of the agony and wasted time of rebellion, God's people are finally ready to move because they have finally allowed the God who rescued them to return to the center of their lives. Well, having set the stage, we are now finally ready to look at our reading from Numbers 9 and ponder our first lesson from life in the wilderness, which is this: worship is the way we arrange our lives. Worship is the way we arrange our lives. Verse 1. On the day that the tabernacle was set up, the cloud covered the tabernacle, the tent of the testimony. And at evening it was over the tabernacle like the appearance of fire until morning. So it was always. The cloud covered it by day and the appearance of fire by night. And whenever the cloud lifted from over the tent, after that the people of Israel set out. And in the place where the cloud settled down, there the people of Israel camped. The tabernacle, which had replaced the much simpler tent of meeting, sat right in the center of camp. All the tents of Israel radiated out from it in wide spokes, and every tent in the entire camp faced the tabernacle at the center. As people emerged from their tents at dawn each day, the very first thing they saw was the cloud of God's glory hovering over the tabernacle. At night, when they returned to their tents, the very last thing they saw was their own shadow cast by the towering fire of God rising up out of the center of the camp behind them. Their lives, from dawn till dusk, were carefully ordered around the presence and glory of God. They knew how to find friends and family members by orienting themselves to the tabernacle at the center of camp. They knew that if the cloud was stationary, they were staying put. And if the cloud was on the move, it was time to break camp. Everything was ordered around the presence and the glory of God. And we typically think of worship as something that we do on Sundays or something that happens when we sing a song of praise. For the people of Israel, worship was a way of arranging their lives. They structured their lives around the glorious presence of God. They began the day with God's glory. It ended with God's glory. And every act revolved around God, who occupied the center of their life together. Now we need to ask ourselves the obvious but intrusive question: how have we ordered our lives as individuals and as a community? What or who is at the center? Does your day begin with contemplating the glory of God or with catching up on notifications on your phone? Does your day end with the acknowledgement of God's presence at the heart of everything or with a restless review of the frustrations and anxieties of the day? Is God at the center of who you are and how you order your life, or have you set him off on the margins? Back in Exodus 33, God was on the outskirts of the camp. The people only went to him as they saw fit. He was like a physician or a therapist, seen by appointment for a fixed period of time in order to address a specific need. In Numbers 9, he's at the center of everything, always present in glory, always the object of their praise. In Exodus 33, the people were stuck in the wilderness, idling in the middle of nowhere because of their own self-centeredness. In Numbers 9, they are packed and ready to go because God is in the center and he's on the move. Life is a wilderness, and there's desert and danger in every direction. When we set God out at the margins of life, we either get stuck or go the wrong way. When God is at the center, however, and you order your life around him, he will guide you to his promised land. This is the assurance given to God's people as they arrange their lives around his glorious presence. Worship is the way we arrange our lives. That's our first lesson. Our second lesson from the wilderness is this: faithfulness begins with learning to watch and to wait. Look back at chapter 9, starting at verse 20. Sometimes a cloud was a few days over the tabernacle, and according to the command of the Lord, they remained in camp. Then according to the command of the Lord, they set out. And sometimes the cloud remained from evening until morning. And when the cloud lifted in the morning, they set out. Or if it continued for a day and a night, when the cloud lifted, they set out. Whether it was 2 days or a month or a longer time that the cloud remained over the tabernacle, abiding there, the people of Israel remained in camp and did not set out. But when it lifted, they set out. At the command of the Lord, they camped, and at the command of the Lord, they set out. They kept the charge of the Lord at the command of the Lord by Moses. We Americans, we're people of action. We've always been. We aren't good at stopping. We want to be given a destination and then the freedom to find our own way there. We also live in an age that values the instantaneous response, the immediate reply, the Google search measured in microseconds. We don't like waiting. We don't like being told what to do. We want answers now, and we hate hearing the word no. God abides by a different set of priorities. He is a God of action, to be sure, but he is also the God of eons. He's generally not in a hurry. Getting his people to the promised land as quickly as possible was not his goal. They had far too much to learn along the way. And chief among those lessons was that faithfulness begins with learning to watch and to wait. Sometimes God had them camp for just a night. In other situations, it was months on end. Either the cloud stayed put or it moved, and Israel followed suit. What God was training his people to do all that time was to turn to him first and last every day. By making them watch and wait, he was training them to be relentlessly attentive to his presence. I imagine that the Israelites must have instinctively glanced toward the center of camp throughout each day just to check on the glory of God. A quick look and they knew, God's here, we're good. Our lives are different. We're not encamped around the tabernacle or guided by a cloud. We do worship the same God, however. And if we want to be faithful to him, we must learn to watch and to wait, becoming relentlessly attentive to him as we do. I'd like for you to think about the normal rhythms of your day. What do you wait on or attend to? What do you watch and listen to? Is cable news always humming in the background, drawing you in with every breaking news bulletin, causing anger, frustration, confusion, or even hopelessness? Or is it those open applications on your phone with their different notifications pinging and dinging every few minutes, increasing the pressure you feel to keep up, leaving you anxious and insecure? We all have patterns of attentiveness. Things we listen to and look for that shape the way we live and direct the ways in which we respond to the world. These things, they exert an enormous influence over us, and yet we so rarely question the amount of time and attention we give to them. I want to encourage you this week to notice what you attend to name the things you watch for and wait on. Are you being as attentive to God, to his word, and to his people as you are to other things? Do you turn to scripture, to prayer, and to thoughtful, patient reflection as often as you turn to Facebook or Fox News? Faithfulness begins with learning to watch for and wait on God. This means paying attention to Him, getting to know Him, understanding what He loves and what He hates. By watching and waiting, our hearts become increasingly attuned to His. And when we learn to love what He loves, you know what happens? We begin to see Him when He's on the move because we know what to look for. We watch Him act more frequently and we learn to follow more quickly. We come to understand when He wants us to act immediately, like in the face of abuse or injustice, and when He wants us to sit tight and wait, like in a season of discernment. Worship is the way we arrange our lives. And faithfulness begins with learning to watch and to wait. The last lesson from this passage builds on the first two. When God moves, we follow. Now, this is the most obvious lesson of all, but it's no less important for being so obvious. 7 times in the second half of Numbers 9, we hear the phrase, "at the command of the Lord." The repetition of this phrase provides a rhythm to the passage, making it feel almost like poetry. The people waited and watched, then rose up and followed when God commanded. God expected His people to keep up with Him and to follow His lead, no matter where He took them. This is the pattern of life on the way to the promised land. And remember this, the Israelites didn't know where they were going. Every time the cloud moved and they packed up camp, it was an act of trust. Obedience doesn't always have a clear destination or an obvious explanation. Yes, we know where we're headed in the long run, the promised land of eternal life in a new heaven and a new earth. But next week and next year, they're not as clear. Nonetheless, when God moves, we follow. Because only He can lead us through life in the wilderness. We follow His will and we obey His word because we know that His plans are infinitely better than our plans. We know that as hard as it is, obedience is always going to be better than rebellion. Well, that phrase, "at the command of the Lord," isn't the only thing repeated 7 times in this passage. Another word gets the same sevenfold treatment. It's the word tabernacle. We treat it as a proper noun, but it captures a miraculous event. Tabernacle means to dwell with. The cloud and fire were signs that God had actually taken up residence among His people as pledge and as proof of His enormous love for them. They obeyed the command of the Lord because He was traveling with them every step of the way. You know, sometimes I wish I had a cloud to follow. It seems like life would be so much easier if I could just follow step-by-step instructions. But you know, the truth is, we have something far better than a cloud. We have the Holy Spirit of God Himself, who takes up residence dwelling in our hearts when we turn to God through faith in Christ. In our reading from John 16, you heard Jesus promise the disciples that He would send them the Holy Spirit, the Counselor, to be with them forever and lead them into all truth. That promise, it extends to all who put their trust in Jesus and seek to follow Him. The Holy Spirit doesn't lead us from the outside, like the cloud over the tabernacle, but from within as He works to transform our hearts and wills to make them more like God's. Through the Holy Spirit, we have become the tabernacle where God has set His glory for all the world to see. As we arrange our lives with God at the center, as we watch for Him and wait on Him, we learn to see when He's on the move, and we grow in the confidence to follow. We do all these things by the power of the Holy Spirit. He dwells with us and walks with us day by day by day. as we navigate this life in the wilderness. Let me pray for us. Our Lord Jesus, we thank you for the gift of your Holy Spirit. We pray that by his power at work within us, we would arrange our lives to the worship of God. We pray that we would learn to watch and wait for you. And that when we see you move, we pray that we would follow and obey. Lord God, be honored in our midst. Be with us during this wilderness season. Be glorified in the city of Raleigh. We pray in the name of Jesus. Amen.
Our service continues by confessing our faith through the words of the Apostles' Creed. Confessing together, I believe in God, the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord. He was conceived by the power of the Holy Spirit and born of the Virgin Mary. He suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended to the dead. On the third day, he rose again. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come again to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Let us pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. O Lord, show your mercy upon us.
And grant us your salvation.
O Lord, guide those who govern us.
And lead us in the way of justice and truth.
Clothe your ministers with righteousness.
And let your people sing with joy.
O Lord, save your people.
And bless your inheritance.
Give peace in our time, O Lord.
And defend us by your mighty power.
Let not the needy, O Lord, be forgotten.
Nor the hope of the poor be taken away.
Create in us clean hearts, O God.
And take not your Holy Spirit from us.
Almighty God, you have created us in your own image. Grant us grace to contend fearlessly against evil, to abhor violence and to root out racism and oppression in our midst. Help us to use our freedom rightly in the establishment of justice in our communities and among the nations. May your church be a shining light to the world in these perilous times. Through Jesus Christ our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. Heavenly Father, we give you thanks for the life of Gordon Tsang and pray for peace and comfort for his wife, Winnie, and their family. Lord Jesus, we pray for all those who are in trouble, sorrow, need, sickness, or any other adversity, especially Lydia, Richard, Diana, Judah, Linda, June, Barbara, Bill, Mabel, Thomas, Susan, Ira, Sterling, William, Jarrett, Randy, Bill, Holland, Jack, Susan, Nancy, Dodie, Chloe, Gabrielle, Wendy, Owen, Judson, Mildred, and the Yates family. We praise you for the birth of Judah Daniel Yonan on May 30th to Rachel and Jonathan. And we lift up in prayer all those expecting the birth of a child, especially Mary, Mac, and Matt, Lauren, and Sam. Grant comfort and peace to all who desire to conceive or adopt, and in your time, we pray, give them the joy of children. For our loved ones in the military, especially William, Chase, Jefferson, and Gabriel, keep them safe, enfold them in your protection, and fill them with courage each day. I now invite you to add your own petitions or thanksgivings aloud. You can feel free to pause the video if you'd like. O Lord, from whom all good proceeds, grant us the inspiration of your Holy Spirit, that we may always think those things that are good, and by your merciful guidance may accomplish the same. Through Jesus Christ our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, forever and ever. Amen. If you're visiting with us for the first time today, we want to extend a warm welcome to you. We'd love to learn a little bit about you, and we can do that by you going to the front page of our website, clicking on the tab I'm New, and filling out a welcome card. This will give us a little information about you, and it will also allow us to share about our life together with you. We've had a wonderful response to our food drive over the last couple of weeks. We've had an incredible outpouring for our partner ministries, Raleigh Rescue Mission and With Love from Jesus. Thank you so much for all of your generous donations. Now I want to share some really exciting news with you. Over the past 5 months, a diligent search was underway under the guidance of the Family Ministry Search Team. This team was chaired by Alice Cunningham and Mary D. Smith and included Micah Vandegrift, Ann Sherman, Lynn McFall, Ray Nostein, and Martha Sanders. After hours and hours of work and vetting dozens of candidates, we are pleased to announce that we have officially hired a new director of children's ministry and a new director of student ministry. Right now, their pictures should be up on the screen in front of you. Beth Humans is moving here with her husband Lloyd and college-aged daughter Charlotte from Northern Virginia to be closer to family. She has two other grown children and has been serving in and around children's ministry for the last decade. Most recently, she was the director of children's ministry at Emmanuel Presbyterian Church in Arlington and recently transferred to an advisory role to raise up her second in command in light of her move to Raleigh. She has her master's in children's ministry with a concentration in special needs and is bringing a wealth of experience to the family ministry team, along with abundant wisdom and profound joy. Matt Damaris is originally from Northern Virginia as well and has been serving as the youth director at an Anglican church in the Outer Banks for the last few years. Before that, he was the associate director of youth ministry at Truro Anglican Church in Northern Virginia. He has a passion for student ministry, is an expert in fun, and is working on his master's degree in divinity from Asbury Seminary. He'll be a strong addition to the family ministry team because of his passion, not only for student ministry, but also for the fifth graders with their coming transition into middle school. He's so excited to see how God will work within the lives of the young people of Holy Trinity and will be a great addition to our family ministry team. Now, I know that was just a little on both of them, but don't worry. They'll be on board mid-July, and at that time, we'll hear a lot more communication about them and from them. But right now, would you just take a moment and celebrate with me, praising the gracious favor of the Lord, his consistent faithfulness, even amidst this pandemic, to bring the right people to our church. Praise God. He is so good.
As our service draws to a close, let us say together the general thanksgiving. Almighty God, Father of all mercies, we, your unworthy servants, give you humble thanks for all your goodness and loving kindness to us and to all whom you have made. We bless you for our creation, preservation, and all the blessings of this life, but above all for your immeasurable love in the redemption of the world by our Lord Jesus Christ, for the means of grace and for the hope of glory. And we pray, give us such an awareness of your mercies that with truly thankful hearts, we may show forth your praise, not only with our lips, but in our lives, by giving up ourselves to your service and by walking before you in holiness and righteousness all our days. Through Jesus Christ, our Lord, to whom with you and the Holy Spirit be honor and glory throughout all ages. Amen. Almighty God, you have given us grace at this time with one accord to make our common supplication unto you. And you have promised through your well-beloved Son that when two or three are gathered together in his name, you will be in the midst of them. Fulfill now, O Lord, our desires and petitions as may be best for us, granting us in this world knowledge of your truth, and in the age to come, life everlasting. Amen. Amen. Let us bless the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with us all evermore.
Amen.
Amen. Our closing hymn is Praise the Father, Praise the Son. Alleluia, alleluia. Let us go forth rejoicing in the good news of Jesus Christ. Thanks be to God. Alleluia, alleluia. Alleluia.